There's an interesting story in the Sefer here that about Meiser, that there was a guy in America in the 60s or something, and he was very makpid, 70s, he was very makpid. He was a simple person, but he was very, very makpid on Meiser. Very makpid on Meiser. He was an older Yid from Europe, so the Rav of the city, the Rav of the town came to him and said, you know, where'd you get, I see you're so makpid, where'd you get this Hanhaga from that you're so makpid on Meiser? So he said that what happened was he used to live in a town in Poland. No, in Poland or, I don't know where, let me see if you say exactly where it is. That, no. Oh, here. He said he used to live in a town in Russia. Yeah, in Russia. He used to live in a town in Russia. And he used to give his meiser, he was a soicher, he was a businessman, and he used to give his meiser to the local Malamed. The Malamed was a Talmud Chacham, and he used to give the money to the Malamed. The one time this soicher made a major deal, and he had a lot of extra meiser to give, he had a lot of extra meiser money. So he basically gave the whole thing to the Malamed. So the Malamed said, I don't need this, I'm accustomed to whatever I have. I don't need this extra meiser. So he said, oh, you don't need it. So you know what? Listen, he said, I've come by the cheder a few times. I see in the cheder that there's two boys that look like they're really pretty solid kids. I want you to take this money and send them off to yeshiva, into the big city. They'll send them out into the big city so they'll be exposed, and they'll send them to the real yeshiva. Use this extra meiser money if that's what you want to do. I'm not going to take it back. I always give meiser. I want to give them meiser. So he sent the two kids. And it was in his bar, and it's interesting because I've heard the other end of the story when they met and everything. But basically, it was in his bar that the two kids that he had sent, this version of the story, at least the way it says it here, it was Ramosha Feinstein and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. They ended up being. So he said, because of my Meiser, I was able to send Gedolim to become Gedolei Torah in
Yeshiva. Did you know the other side of the story, the Rabbi Shapiro tell?
Yeah, yeah.
With his father?
Right. But it wasn't Ramosha. He doesn't say it was Ramosha and Rabbi Yaakov. He says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky or Baron Cutler, I think he says it, right?
Right.
Yeah, Rabbi Shapiro. That's where I heard the other part of the story. That he said the Meiser with Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Aaron. And the other side of the story was that there was, what was it? That his father.
His father was, you know, going to. Coming to a stand, and he sees that after a certain hour they don't sell cigarettes, and the guy's sitting there learning every time he does it. So he asks him, "What are you doing? Where are you from?" He's in Miami. He says, "Whatever came of these two bachelors."
Whatever came of the two bachelors, right? He asked his father, and he said, "Well, who are the two bachelors? Aaron Cutler and Yaakov Kamenetsky." So he was the boy in the class that wasn't sent.
He didn't have time to. He couldn't sit and learn, but he took his money and he put it aside for them.
Right. Who?
So this guy in the stand. That's where the money came.
Oh, so maybe that's this guy.
Sounds like the same one.
Right.
He would put money aside every time he made a sale. He put money aside and he gave it to yeshiva because he couldn't afford to.
So, anyway, but that was the story they bring down over here. But anyway. We're talking about Meiser. I think we're going to talk, we'll see what we get done this week. I have a few points about this week, and then next week we'll hopefully get to talk about what you could use a Meiser for. That's like one of the big questions we always talk about, what you use a Meiser for. But in the meanwhile, one thing we ended off with last time was, what is the nature of the mitzvah of Meiser? Is it a real obligation? Is it a Torah? Is it Midir Abonon? Is it only a minig? So we came out last time that most poiskim hold that it's only a minig. It's a minig toiv that we're makabel upon ourselves to give meiser. Now, because of that, we said a couple halachas come out of that. Because of that, it's only a minig. So, you're only obligated fully as much as you want to obligate yourself. So therefore, the Chafetz Chaim writes, and it's brought down in the Chaim Kanievsky brings it out, others, is that you should be makabel upon yourself, first of all, bli neder, and also under certain circumstances, with certain conditions. So that was one of the tanaim. But what's very interesting, we left off last time with a question. Well, it was 2 weeks ago, because we didn't have a class last week. You weren't the only one that weren't. He wasn't here, so it was just us two. So we were learning.
I goofed up on the time, and I realized when you emailed.
I think it was the topic.
It was the topic. Yeah, exactly.
Actually, there was only me and.
Just us two. Yeah. He just came in. No, so the question we ended up with 2 weeks ago was, what if someone just lands by Shir, he hears that there's such a thing as Meiser, he looks into it, he says, oh, Meiser, well, I never gave Meiser my whole life. Do I have to give Meiser all the money?
Retroactive.
That was the question that we had left off with. Now, what's very interesting is that I just, you know, it's a little bit halacha l'maaseh for me, because there was an interesting psak that I saw in this sefer here, which I'm not sure, I don't understand so well, but the psak was like this. The psak was that if a person has a house that they rent out, then all the rental income, not like the way we do it with taxes, but all the rental income is subject to Meiser, and you can't deduct the price of the mortgage. That's what
the principal payments of the mortgage or the interest?
So that's what's very interesting. You're always on the money with this, because Rabbi Yashiv, he says, he quotes Rabbi Yashiv having said this, and Rabbi Yashiv says the reason is because you're going to end up with the house eventually. So if you're going to end up with the house eventually, so how can you take that off your Maisa principal? You're making that money. But that I was thinking, like Alan, that if that's true, so that's only the principal payment, but not the.
He's taking Jews to lend money interest free.
I understand the case.
The case is a guy owns a house.
Yeah.
Okay, his mortgage, his principal, forget interest and forget taxes, insurance, and all that. But just the principal and interest payment, let's say, is $1,000 a month on the house.
He's paying
for the house. He owns the house. He's paying $1,000 principal and interest. In the meanwhile, he's getting a rent of $1,200 on the house. So does he have to give Meister only on $200? But he has to be a Meister on the whole $1,200 because he's getting income of $1,200. Yeah, he decides he's using it for his to pay off his mortgage. But the actual revach, the money that he's making, the profit, not profit, but the money he's making is the $1,200. So for tax purposes, you know, if it's an investment property, so all that goes into the expenses.
You don't deduct the principal either for taxes for the same reason. It's not an expense. But the interest you deduct,
right.
The tax is the insurance.
Right. So what Rabbi Asher says, you don't deduct it. But the problem is, if that mortgage payment, why? Because the mortgage payment that I'm making, is really into my own pocket because I'm buying back my house. Right? But that's the point, is that out of the $1,000 that this guy's paying at every month, his principal and interest payment, let's say $300 of it is principal, but the other $700 is only interest. Right?
So the $700 should say about that?
So I don't know. It just says here you can't take off the mashkanta.
So mashkanta
is the mortgage. You can't take out mortgage payments. And he says in the bottom, because you're making back the money. So I think that only applies.
That's the
principle. Yeah. So he says,
I don't understand something. Why is the principle? Forget the U.S. taxes. But when you bought a house,
you bought a house for $200,000.
You didn't pay $200,000. You paid $100,000 for the house.
Yeah.
Right? So if someone gives you $1,000 to pay on your mortgage, they're paying down your loan. That's a profit.
It's what?
Exactly. Well,
so why should you have to pay?
Oh, well,
it is.
He's saying the whole thing is profit. Because you owe the money now.
You invested $100,000 on this property. Now all of a sudden you have property that's worth $101,000 because the guy gave you $1,000 and you put it down against the
principal. He's saying it's only the principal. You're gaining more equity in the house. Only the principal. Only can feed the principal.
So I understand that, but the principal that you're gaining, that equity that you're gaining, you didn't have the day before.
Correct. But what about the interest that I'm paying to the bank? I'm not getting equity from that payment.
No, the interest is an expense.
Yeah.
He's saying.
The government doesn't think of it that way.
You buy a house. And you pay, it's $200,000 for the house.
Yeah, you put $100 down.
So I own the house, and now I owe money to the bank. He's giving me money to pay back my loan.
So you're only paying the principal on $100,000. So it just means there's more money.
I hear what he's saying a little bit.
No, you're making a profit.
It's got to be an answer.
Yeah. You're making a profit.
It's not a
problem. You didn't sell it.
Loan.
You didn't sell it yet, so you don't have the money in your pocket.
But correct.
Conceivably, if you sold the house later on, you'd have to pay. You'd have
no,
to
but that's
all. $100,000.
Yeah, but that's only the principal that you're paying back, not the extra interest.
the $1,200 you get for the mortgage, you pay the bank $200 for interest, right? $1,000 for principal.
No, you're keeping.
So if anything, the MICER on the principal that you're getting is deferred until the time you sell the house.
You're gonna own.
I invest $100,000 to buy a piece of property,
I sell it
for $200 later on.
You say when you sell the house, you shouldn't have to pay that difference now because you've already paid it. You've already mastered it because.
Well, how can you do that? Because the house can devalue. It should be at the time of sale.
Yeah, but it's true. That's what we're going to see. Your obligation to give MICER is only, it's not on value. It's only once you have cash liquid cash.
If you buy the house and as you pay down the mortgage, you don't get a deduction for this. You're saying you shouldn't get a. Saying you don't get a deduction for the principal.
He didn't say
he didn't make a distinction with principal interest. We're trying to say maybe he meant that.
We're saying
he doesn't say that.
He said.
I came in saying that I looked at this tshuva of Rabbi Yashiv.
You could lose money every month. Your interest rate could be 14%, and you're getting zero cash flow. You're getting literally of zero cash flow, and now you're giving mice or your
right.
If you make an investment and 5 years later you sell it at a profit, you're miser on the profit that you make. Right.
You only make it not as the investment increases in value, right. only once you sell.
Yeah. Right. So the house should be the same thing. You bought the house for $100 and you have it mortgaged. And let's say after 10 years the house is free. So you bought it for $100 and you bought a $200,000 house and you paid $100,000 cash for it. You sell it for the $200 that it's worth later on after it's paid off. So at the end you should have to pay MICER on that extra increase in value for what you paid down for.
Not really, because that was you owned that $200 all along. You just borrowed it.
It's an investment that you made. I'm not talking about the insurance. You made an investment.
Did it go up in value? It didn't go up in value.
You borrowed it. If it didn't go up in value, then there's no profit.
But I thought you mean to say that the money that all the equity that I gained in the house is that's not profit. I mean, that's just more money I'm putting into the house. That's my own money. I'm putting it from one pocket to the other.
But that's what it costs. It costs you. If you buy the house for, let's say you buy the house for $200, none of your money to end. You borrow the whole thing.
Nothing from the bank. Okay, so, right.
So your basis is still $200.
Wait, and then you sell it for $250 later on. You paid nothing for it. You flipped it right away. You didn't pay the bank anything. You bought it for $200.
We're not talking about that.
So you bought it for, you got $200
from the bank. Yeah, then you pay my son the profit. I'm talking about a very simple case over here. The guy has a house, not flipping, simple guy. And he's...
I'm going to think about that. And I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Think about
it's deferred. You have to pay it later. We don't pay it now. But
he has $100,000 equity in the house. He has a mortgage. He has $1,000 mortgage. He's paying $1,000 principal and interest. Of that principal and interest, let's say half is principal, half is interest. So I understand that the $500 you can't deduct as part of your investment costs because that's equity that you're building now. So you're again keeping that money. What about the interest? Can you deduct the interest that you're paying to keep this house off the rent, off the rental income?
That would make sense for sure. I'm worried about the principal with what's
an expense. You're saying you should deduct the interest.
Sure. Huh? It's expense. Your interest might be more than the
payment. That's what he's saying, but I'm not sure. I have to figure out.
Let's say you bought you paid cash for the house.
Okay.
So you paid $200,000. A year later, you sell it for $300,000.
Yeah, so you pay $100,000. And you pay off $100,000.
But let's say you bought the house for $200,000 and you borrow the whole $200,000. And now you sell the house for $300,000.
Yeah.
What do you pay tax on?
Well, the guy just paid you back your loan, basically. You borrowed the money.
You borrowed for $200,000, and let's say you don't make any payments for whatever reason. You just pay interest on it every month.
Yeah, but you didn't make that $200,000. I mean, you owned the house.
No,
you right.
Make,
but then what happens when you sell it?
You make the same $100,000. Yeah.
You make the same $100,000.
Yeah, because if you
as you make the principal payments down.
Yeah, but that's just to get back the money that you had really put into it originally. You borrowed from X and you bought Y. So it's two separate cheshbonos.
So you still bought it.
$200,000. Yeah, I would say you still bought it. But it was very interesting. No, but anyway, why did I get into this? Because before I moved here, I had a house in Lake, but I didn't sell it yet, and I have someone living there.
So this is the problem.
So now the question is: now do I have to pay MICER on all the rent that I'm being paid? I mean, even though it's just covering my mortgage, basically.
It's covering
your mortgage, but
I'm not really making. I'm not making so much money on that.
Yeah, but
right. So that's for sure. That's what I'm realizing now is that I have to pay kefee, you know, the amount of money that.
Oh, okay.
The so principal payment I have to deduct, and then I have to give my son. So now I have this question that we brought up.
That works now, because if you're paying on the principal, you're saying you should pay on the principal. Then if you pay the whole loan off and you sell the house for $300,
yeah, you didn't make
that $200, you paid that back already and you gave MISO.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then you should only.
No, if you give MISO a loan, I think the MISO should be deferred until you sell the house and have the cash.
Probably.
You buy stock.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
buy stocks.
You don't pay MISO until you realize the gain.
I paid $100 a share for a stock. Now the stock goes up to $200.
You don't pay MISO until you
sell it.
Right.
I pay MISO on the $100 profit. That should be the same way.
Let's say.
All right, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's getting complicated a little bit. But
you may borrow it on the margin and then pay that down.
That's really getting complicated.
So
in the futures.
It's no different. No matter how you're paying it, you're still paying MISO on the profit that you've made.
But if you pay it on margin,
God gives you back.
Hopefully I'll understand this stuff one day. Oh, so
economist, this guy grew up on dollars.
The question is the following. So in economy, now we're learning the halacha from this halacha that I'm mechuyev to pay the meiser kefee, at least for sure, I can't deduct the principal payment. Whatever chelik of the mortgage payment goes towards the principal, I can't deduct that. So do I have to pay retroactively, since I've moved here the last 7 months, do I have to pay retroactively on that rent?
You're asking us?
Oh, no, so that's the question we brought up last week. I'm just saying, I just realized it as I was preparing, I just realized it's a shailos nogea. So the Shevet Alevi says, since Meiser is only a minig, again, this is just another nafkamina of the fact that Meiser is only a minig. If it would be halacha, midaraisa, then you would have to pay retroactively also. But since it's only a minig, so he says the minig is not like that. The minig is, as much as you have cash flow, you give the Meiser. But you don't give Meiser off something which you don't have a cash flow off of. His language is the following. He says, since it's only a minig, therefore, he says, "Afa pisha ashe adam anizar b'zeh." It's great if you want to do it. Im kain kibo alav elashaloi nizar arasha bavadai olav lasos cheshbon. Oh, if you makabel it like that, but otherwise you don't have to do it. What does he say?
It's in your year,
but
doesn't it?
Ain makom l'sakin over ki adua. He says it's a minute. Ain makom l'sakin over. He says you don't have to do that.
Also, in the case where the monthly rental payment is just covering your mortgage, there's no ISO pay anyway. So you're paying it all out.
No, but that's the point. That's what I'm saying. I'm getting money. I'm part of it is the principal. Let's say I'm paying $1,000. Let's say my rent is $1,000 and my mortgage is $1,000.
I think the interest part. You don't pay MISO on it if it's just covering. If you're a mortgage payment,
I'm making whatever it is. If $300 a month is going towards my principal, that $300 a month he's paying me and I'm keeping.
What if he decides to pay? What if the rabbi decides to pay down his mortgage thing?
Rosh Hashanah.
It does with taxes.
Yeah, it would. So you have a whole year to.
If the rabbi gets a bonus in the COLA of $50,000, which could happen, you never know. So he decides I'll pay my mortgage down $50,000 more. How could he say, you know what? I don't have to pay MISO on the $50,000 because I paid down my mortgage.
No, he has the MISO on the. You got the cash in your hand. You can reinvest.
Yeah, but he's saying it's the same idea. I'm getting rent, and I'm paying my mortgage. He's paying me, and I'm paying my mortgage. He's not paying me directly. He's not paying my mortgage directly. I've got to reassess that. No, I've got to think about it.
How are you going to do that? How are you going to trump Rabbi Yali Yoshin?
Well, I don't know. It's not so clear what he means here. So maybe send a letter to the author of this book.
Keep it vague. And say this is what he must know.
Yeah, I'll just find out from the author of this book what he meant.
It has to be. If it's not, it goofs up the whole economic system. It's almost like when you were talking about changing the. No, it changes the. It would be like changing the currency. You know, like.
Okay, so he doesn't want us to goof up the system.
He's definitely talking about
the inflation.
Yeah, it's something.
If you can fix that and the inflation, we got it made.
Okay.
No, because you don't
we'll
want to put someone
it.
In a position where they say, you know what, I can't rent out my house because I rent it out.
But in that case, that you're saying.
More MISO than
if you know that this $1,000 is going right to your mortgage, it's not going to your bank, it's not collecting any sort of interest, why would you have to give MISO? It is as if he's paying it for you.
Yeah, but that's his whole point, is that the part of it that he's giving, let's say for example, he would give me $1,000, $600 I would pay off my mortgage, and $400 I would pay off a different loan that I
use. You're deciding to use it.
It's a loan that I have that I'm paying off. It's staying in my pocket. That extra $400 is staying in my pocket.
Right, but we're not talking about that in this case, right?
So it's the same thing from using it to
towards your mortgage.
But you said
he's renting your house. You know, or he pitches a tent in your backyard and he's paying you $100 a month for pitching a tent.
Right.
You're deciding to take and pay the mortgage, and then you are responsible. He moves out, who's still going to pay?
Right. So therefore you're saying what?
He has no
contract. Therefore you're saying what? Therefore, which way are you going?
Therefore it is money that you're earning. You should be.
Even you should pay mice on it. Even can you the interest?
The interest?
Even can you subtract the interest payment? Or you, none.
The money that he gives you, straight out my star.
He's being very, very mock with.
I'll
tell you what.
It's earned income that you didn't do anything for.
It's earned income. Okay.
It's not my fault. You're
responsible. Taxes, we don't look at it like that. But again, taxes, we don't look at it like that. When you get taxes, we look at it like an investment. It's a cost from the investment.
But earned income?
No, we don't.
Rabbi, earned income, we always take deductions for reasonable expenses.
Right, but the question is this an expense of the... Is this an expense of the investment?
Yes. Yeah,
probably is, right?
Yes, you bought the house. You couldn't own the house.
Couldn't own it without
that. Now it can get further. Okay.
Now my question, but the question is, maybe it makes a decision.
The house, nobody else lives there. Okay, so there's, now I have to go and cut the lawn. So I can
take
that
out.
Of
course you should take that out.
And you still have to pay the bank
the water.
You still have to pay the bank the interest.
That should be considered. I would have assumed that it should be the same as tax as we look at it for taxes.
Meaning, it's an investment. Because this is the opposite of
Eitan. Right.
If Eitan is right, saying, then what you do is, whenever someone wants to pay you for something, tell them, don't pay me. You pay the butcher, you pay my lawn, everything, and then you never get to
pay. Well, okay, so listen to this. So I have a question. So the question is, let's follow. Listen to this. Okay,
you rented it out.
He didn't get the house.
Right. So yeah, but then you. But then all of it is revach. All of it is profit. Because you didn't have any expenses. You had no expenses connected with this property.
Yeah, you had to buy it at some time. You bought it. You bought a house. You paid it off.
Yeah, so you paid
have
it off
no mortgage
already.
Now.
Good.
Now
so then all of it is profit.
So it's all profit.
Yeah.
Because you're not paying the interest.
Yeah, but here you are.
Technically, until you pay that house off completely, it's not your house.
I don't think that's true anymore. That used to be the way mortgages were arranged. It's not like that anymore.
Well, if you don't
a mortgage is yours.
It's taking it away.
It's a lien. They have a lien on the property, but it's
well,
not
mean the full house.
It's a lien. You own the house, but it's a lien. They have a full lien on the house that they have the right to collect the house as payment for their loan. But it's not their house. You own the house.
And they don't have a right to collect it. They foreclose it, it gets sold, and then you could.
Well, that's my point. If they foreclose it, the house is not yours. Tough. It's not yours.
Yeah, but at this point, you still own it. If you move in, you have to put on a mezuzah the first day. You're not like a renter.
If someone shoots you, then you're dead. But they didn't shoot you
for 4 years or 5 years. You don't pay at all.
Well,
and you have a rented. No, and you have
you
a rented.
Take a deduction because you're not paying the
right. And you have a rented, so you have to pay straight up miser.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and what? They're going to take the miser and use it for pidyon shvuim to get you out of jail.
Look at a lot of houses. Yeah,
okay.
4.5 years.
So the question is, how retroactive is it?
So you have to tell us how this is.
Okay, we have to look into it. But this is a question that I want to be mavar because I always assumed the davar pashut was that all expenses, I looked at it like the same as my tax. I gave it to my tax. I gave it to my accountant. Whatever taxes came out, whatever profit, you know, that's what I thought. But now,
you can't take depreciation for.
He got a Shmuel Zalman even has a side. You could take depreciation.
You could take depreciation at what level?
And I saw back here.
10 years, 5 years.
I'm not sure. Depreciation of the house if you rent it.
That's interesting.
He claims here, not claims. Rav Shlomo Zalman says in the back of the sefer he has sucking from Rav Shlomo Zalman. He says that you can take depreciation. That seems to be the complete opposite of Rabbi Yashiv.
If you can take depreciation, then when you sell your house, you have to count. You have to recover that depreciation. Otherwise, it's skipped tax. It's skipped miser. He's making it complicated, unless he wants to say follow the tax.
I would say you're right. Probably the best thing is not to take the depreciation, but now What's it called? Let's move on to another issue.
How much did we rent the cow for?
What?
In those days when they came out with these halakhas, I rented you my horse.
Okay, but there's depreciation involved.
My horse too?
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
10 years, 5 years.
Right. Yeah. Just took off 2 years
now,
of my horse. You know.
Now, there's a couple interesting halakhas that I saw about this thing, about what types of money go in. There's what types of profits go into money that you're obligated. So this is one example. There's a big tumult, apparently. You know, we're just sitting around the table, and everyone.
Well,
my father's not a rub. What is he? He's not an opinion about this. This is interesting halacha. What happens if you find a metzia? You find something on the floor, an aveda, and the halacha is you don't have to give it back. In a lot of cases, because he was earning miyat, it was already yush. The owner had already given up hope, and you decide to give it back. So the halacha is you have to give ma'aser because you got it for free. Now you don't have to give it back; you're allowed to keep it. You decided to give it back; that's your problem. But really, it's considered money that you gained. So if you pick up money, right? If you pick up money, a $20 bill or something outside, and then the halacha is if it's in a shul or whatever, you can assume that you're allowed to keep it because it's yush right away. Then you find the owner. Then you have to give him $20 and put $2 in the pushka from my side.
Does he tell that to people? If people find $10,000, they keep it.
It's very interesting. Now he brings a mefurish pasuk in the Torah.
That's dangerous.
Yeah, there's a mefurish pasuk in the Torah about this.
Yes. No.
Is that wrong? There's a
whole inspiration. But then you should get a deduction.
What about the owner? He's Miyaish. Does he pay Miyaish on it too?
Oh, so I'm saying, yeah, he for sure has to pay Miyaish on it. Because he's Miyaish. Not only that, listen to this. Alan, this is for you. Listen to this. Listen to this one.
I don't know if it's worth it anymore. I mean,
listen to this. No, listen to this.
Who else gets money out of this?
A guy, you lent money to someone. Okay? It's been years. You've given up. You've long given up hope on it.
Right.
Okay? You lent $10,000 to a guy. That's it. You hounded him for years.
He pays you back and you have to pay money.
After, if you've given up hope and then he shows up one day and gives it back to you, you have to pay money on that. Because it's like new money.
So you lost money. No,
nobody really gets up
hope
on money.
You took a deduction. Wait a second.
So he says, but that's only if you took the deduction of losing the $10,000.
And what about when you give the...
Well, not only, but you could have taken it as a deduction then.
You took off that $10,000 off your income
profits.
For that year?
Yeah.
Well, what happens if he didn't?
Then you can't still
pay money. It has to be consistent.
No, I don't know
it's a lost deduction. You had a right to.
Yeah, you had a right to, and you lost it. But the point is that I think people that lent money and weren't paid back can relate to this. they could relate that it's totally new money. The question is, what about the opposite end? What about if you borrowed money from someone and the guy was moichel you? Let's not say you're ganav. The guy was moichel you. Yeah, you have to pay maisa on gneva. You steal money.
Sure.
You know that maisa at the Chavetz Chaim?
Just because you're a thief doesn't mean
I was going to say.
Just because you violate one command.
Not violate. I'm telling you, the guy was moichel.
You said thief.
Yeah, so a thief itself, I don't know, you have to pay maisa? Probably not. You know that maisa? Yeah, it's a mitzvah over there. You know that maisa at the Chavetz Chaim that the guy came to the Chavetz Chaim and he asked him for a brach and parnasa. So he said, brach and parnasa, your parnasa is to be a ganif. And he used to go steal from people. So I gotta give you a parnasa. So he said, no, give me a bracha that anyone that has a gzeir on Rosh Hashanah that they should have a geneva done from them, I should be able to do it.
Did he give it to him?
What? No, I don't think so.
But
listen.
If you don't make a bracha on kosher food, you shouldn't make money.
Okay.
You shouldn't get miser on.
Yeah, but listen to this, okay? I just want to show you the pasuk. The pasuk discusses this. We're getting a little off track. But when Avram, after his battle with the four kings, the five kings, that whole thing, so he got a lot of stuff in the war, yeah, a lot of booty and everything. And he came back to Malki Tzedek, and he told Malki Tzedek, you know what, I don't want to keep any of this. Right? He says, here, Vayomer Melech Sdomel Avram, Tainli Anefesh, Varechosh Kachloch, you could keep all the Rechosh. So says Avram, Vayomer Avram el Melch Sodom, Harimoyis Yadi al Hashem, no, im Mechut v'atzoich nal, v'mekach m'kol asher loch, v'loy toymar, ani ha'sharti es Avram. So he said to Malki Tzedek Melech Shalom, no, take it all back. So everything he won in the war, he gave it right back. He didn't want to keep it. But now what's the pasuk right before it? U'baruch kel elyon, asher migen tzarech ha'biyadach, he gave brach to Malki, v'yitin loy ma'yaser mikol. And Avram gave ma'yaser on it. So Avram got all this stuff, he gave ma'yaser, and then he gave it all back to him.
So he took the ma'yaser from what he got?
Yes, it sounds like. No, he took the ma'yaser from what he got, but he wasn't planning on keeping it. Well, he was allowed to keep it. But
okay, so if you find a $20 bill, so you give ma'aser and you give me $18 back.
So good, but if you probably want to be the nice guy and give him back the whole. What are you going to tell the guy? The guy's going to come to you and say you know something.
90% of his
wallet. Yeah. You tell the guy, listen, you're miyayish, and I have no business giving him. I'm not mechuyev to give it back to you. I'd love to give it back to you. But here's $18, the other Torah in the Pushka.
And cut off the other.
I think the shot is when he gave him ice, we thought he was keeping it. When he told him you can have everything, then he says, "Oh no, I don't want to say you gave me anything. I don't want anything.
I think Rav Shlomo Zalman brings this right from the pasuk to this halacha.
Okay,
but by the way, now there's another thing also. If a person has two businesses, so how do you look at? Do you have to give ma'aser on each business individually? So if one fails and one does well, or do you put it all together? You were asking me this a while back.
I hope you say the same thing.
Yeah, well, in the Pisrei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch, he has a whole arichas about it, and he says that there, he says the halacha is.
He can't get better than he told me that.
Yeah, the halacha is that there is a machlokes, but the halacha is that you could be mashlim one the other. One business, if you're both of them are your accounts, and one could be mashlim the other.
Somebody, let's say a guy does 20 different jobs, every job it takes off his mice, or no?
That's the question.
You make some total earnings. If a guy does 5, 10 different things, yeah. Every time he gets a check for $12, he has to take out $1.20.
You net it.
Let's say a guy has a car business.
He's saying if he's losing money.
No, I'm saying let's say a guy has
5, 6 different things.
No, forget 5, do. I'm talking, let's say a guy has 2 businesses. He has 2 hotels. This one loses money, this one makes money. Right? It's a very good question.
I say it's fair.
Okay, so it's fair. But, says the Noi de Behuda, a guy has 2 businesses.
Where do you draw the line?
This hotel loses money, this hotel makes money.
And he lost money over the years, so you say he has to pay money for the stocks. It goes by the person, it's by the account.
Okay, so that's the Noi de Behuda says like this. Yes, so the Noi de Behuda says like that. But the Noi de Behuda says it only works if it was in 1 year. One halachic fiscal year. Whatever that may be. From Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah.
So you have to keep your
Or whatever your fiscal year, maybe you could decide that you're going to give ma'aser according to your tax year, whatever it is. But the point is that whatever the year is, you can't wake up later and, you know, use that loss and cancel out a gain from a previous year. I would say it's very similar to the tax code. Yeah, pretty much. I would say that.
According to the stock code, you can write off every year $3,000 or whatever the base you lost. You can't do that according to God's a little different.
Yes, but
that's not pressure with the retroactive.
That's true. Now, there's one very interesting thing, which seems to be an ongoing machloikas. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, had a very interesting shita in Meiser, in the Chi of Meiser, on a couple things. And the basic yisoid was, what happens, it's called mishtarshi. What happens if you make money, if you end up gaining money, saving money, you end up saving money. Are you willing to give money on that? For example, okay, let's say, like you said, let's say money that doesn't get paid to you. Well, let's say someone gave me this year you could stay in my house. You could stay in my house rent free. Do you have to give Meister on the money of rent that you would have had to pay had he not given it to you? Now, on a gift, you have to pay money, Meister. So you could say he's giving me a gift of $1,700 a month rent. You never like these type of things. You're not going to like this one. But this is the Shaila. Do you have to give rent Do you have to give rent on the mashtarshi, on the money that you've saved, that remains in your account? Do you have to pay maisa on that?
If I buy something for $100,
told you.
It costs $10,000. I got to deal with it. I got to give maisa on $10,000?
Do you go by the value or you go by the purchase?
That's a little different.
Why is it different?
Because you're not saving cash there.
What are you saving?
No, because you wouldn't have bought it otherwise.
One second. I have something I bought for. Let's say it's worth $1,000. I paid $100. I got a good deal. $100, right? I own it. It's mine. If I sell it tomorrow for $1,000, what do I have to pay myself? I made a profit.
$900, right.
So I technically, in my hand, I have a $900 extra deal.
That's true. So this is the question. Let's say a guy would have given it to you. It's very different. In that case, if a guy would have given me that piece for a gift, I wouldn't have to give myself the whole $1,000, right?
Right.
Because it's not money. It's value. You don't have to give mice on merchandise that someone gives you as a present. That's what we pass on. Wedding gifts and all that. You don't have to give mice the money you do. But here, how do you look at it? He's saving me money.
It's not real.
The minig is to go with tangible money. So Mazalman Arbach held any money that you would have had to spend had it not been for this gift is as if he gave you the money. It's as if he gave you the money and you have to give maser on it.
So
if a guy gave you a rent,
$100 a night.
You wouldn't go there. If someone said anything that you would do anyway, that's what he says. If you would buy health insurance, and now as a fringe, as a benefit, you get free health insurance in your company, he says you have to pay maser on that. He says anything that you would do anyway, and you saving the money, it's as if you got the money. In halacha, there's all sorts of sources for this. There's something called in sugyas and Basra and all the places. There's a sugya called mishtarshi. If someone saves you the money, it's as if you got the money. Okay, it's a sugya.
Makes sense.
It's a sugya. So now all these things, a fringe. He says even Section 8. Even if a person is getting money that's paying their rent.
Section 8?
Yeah. If someone's paying your rent, you have to pay mice on that. Even if they don't give it to you. What?
Our children are going to owe us a lot of money. We're helping out with all their stuff.
If you invite someone's house for Shabbos, you have to pay mice on that.
No.
You would pay for your own
suits. That's different.
You would have to ride the shul. You would have to be translatable.
It shouldn't make a difference because one's $1,000, one's $50.
You would have to pay gas to drive yourself. But you get a ride with somebody else.
I'll give you a ride. I'm ready to take a cab. Yeah. Don't spend the $50, I'll give you a ride. I got to pay my
seat. You pay a tax.
I don't know how far it goes. But the Maisa, the Minhag HaOlam, in all this farm, they bring down that this was Rosh Hashanah's Shita. The Minhag HaOlam is not like this. And you only pay on tangible money. But on tangible money that you've actually gotten the cold cash, but no, not on gifts.
It would be quite a scary thing
if that was true. I don't know how.
Let's go with Rubin now.
I just saved 30 cents.
Yeah.
As part of the, do I pay the tuition? Right.
So any money that you we pass it. Any money that you did not get, you don't have to give my
taste the gifts. That's part of your salary.
It's part of your salary. That they don't have to pay you more than that.
Okay, so you want part of my salary. Don't pay me. Pay my mortgage for my house.
So that could be. I don't know what to do. That's different.
So that's coming to you.
It's a huge chiddush, no?
I don't know where he knows that,
but he says
it would create a job for Meister accountants.
Yeah, Meister accountants.
Any favor that somebody does for you.
Can you deduct the cost of hiring the Meister accountant from Meister?
What if somebody says a kind word to you? Do you have to pay him?
Yeah. It's ribbis, right? We learned that that's ribbis, right? You're not allowed to give a kind word to a guy that can lend you money.
No, but they don't lend you money at all. Someone just says, you're tied to
money. We don't pass like this from Shlomo Zalman, but this is from Shlomo Zalman's chiddush. It can't, you know, it's kedai to speak it out.
You go to a dentist, it's supposed to be $200. You know, you're a colleague of mine, it's okay, no problem.
No, that's not mishtashi.
But you know, the dentist, that's different. Where's it end? Anytime you get a favor done for you that you are prepared, ready to spend the money on,
no.
And we're saying that's...
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that we pass asking. I mean, one thing is that...
Well, that's a big issue. A lot of dentists here, I know one dentist...
Services. Hey, barter services, it's not Meister. Meister, we passed... there's a big shyla about gifts altogether.
That's not a gift. Barter should be...
Also, that's let me just finish. We paskin that gift is a big shiloh. No, but gift meaning a gift that you get a money get a guy for a wedding. You give a guy money, he has to give mice on that. But if you give him something worth the money, you give him a silver becher, you don't give mice. We paskin that on merchandise, you don't give mice on that on the value of it. You only give mice on money.
Chinese auctions.
What? No, we didn't cover yet. What can you do with your mice money? That's next week, or never, in 2 weeks.
But what happens if you barter? Somebody says, well, I'll give you a car and you give me...
Yeah, but again, you only ended up with merchandise. You didn't end up with money. You don't get mice on that.
Yeah. Even if so, there's no, it's not Misa if it's
value.
If you 1 second, if you use it for something, it's not you don't have to pay Misa. Like I had points from my American Express, I gave it to somebody to do dental work. So like, what do you mean? It's worth money. It has a value.
What do you mean? Who would give the Misa on that? You mean when you get the points?
It's real money. It's tangible. It's not money, but it's tradable for money, just like anything else.
So when you get the points from the company, you should get Misa on that. You should get Misa on the points that you got from American Express?
You should have to. There's no reason not. It has a cash value to it. You could tell them, give me money instead of the cash.
Yeah, but you
many
could.
Times they'll give you.
Yeah, but you could also, you're saying you could buy. Yeah, but it's not. First of all, you don't have it yet. I mean, you could trade it in at any moment. But
so what? It's tangible.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying
I used it as cash.
What? Every
I gave the guy the point.
You're saying we should not
really
pay in cash? Is that?
I didn't say that. You should have the schuss to get Meister. Now there's that's why, by the way, a lot of people say the halacha we said earlier. Okay, let's go back to, we got to this from a different discussion. The question was, if a guy's moichel a chayv, okay, a guy owes you $1,000. I owe someone $1,000, and he comes and says, you know what? I'm moichel the chayv, you don't have to pay me back. So do I have to pay my meiser now on that $1,000? I just got $1,000, I don't have to pay him anymore.
Get the $1,000.
So it's the same thing, it's not tangible at this point. Even at the time that he gave it to me was, but it's already spent, it's gone. Varaya, he's given
he
up.
Doesn't get a deduction for what he does.
Oh, so now the question is, can he use it as a can he use it as his meiser? So that they say depends. If the guy that you're being moichel to is stam, a low life, and he's not paying you, he's just paying you back because you're being moichel because you're sick of running after him, then you can't take it as meiser. But if the guy that you're being moichel to doesn't have money, he's an ani, then by being moichel him the money, you're giving him $1,000, you could use it as meiser. But it's not as if he got any money now, so he doesn't have to give meiser. It's the same thing. The two sides of the coin are not the same. If you give someone a gift, let's say there's a Talmud Chacham or whatever, a guy, and he needs an ani, and he needs a kiddush, a becher, a kiddush cup. So you can give him a kiddush cup, that counts as your meiser. But when he gets it, he doesn't have to be ma'aser that.
Because it's not money.
Because it's not money. Okay, the two sides of the coin are not the same.
He's doing it
needs to be that way because
otherwise he has to take 10% of it.
But it needs to be that way because you'd rather somebody give a gift so he doesn't feel embarrassed. He gives a gift, you need new shoes, here's some.
Okay, that could be. That could be. Now, one other thing, which I want to talk about more next week.
The minute he moves that, the minute he changes that into something tangible financially, the money, then he has a...
Maybe that would be true. Right. Maybe.
Huh?
Yeah, probably that's true.
That's like selling any... If he sells the becher and he gets $100, he has to pay...
Because he has to pay $100. Yeah. Right. Now, one thing which, I want to...
So if you give him cash, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Now he's got to give myself too.
The thing which I want to talk about a little bit, right? I want to just bring up, and we'll talk about it more again next week. We got, like, it was very Labor Day this week. Is there a halacha that you actually have to make a hafrasha on the maaser? Let me explain. On truma, there's a halacha. Okay, the halacha is that you have a pile of a grain, and you have to actually be mafresh the maaser. You have to separate the maaser, make a separate pile, and this is my maaser. Okay, when it comes to maaser on money, do you have to actually be mafresh the maaser every time you got a paycheck? Be mafresh it, and you separate the maaser, or everything's basically there, and you keep in mind, well, this week I gave $10 to this guy, and this week I just threw $180 to that, and you keep in mind how much maaser do you give, or do you have to actually make a formal separation of the maaser? Be mafresh the maaser. And there's a lot of nafkaminas of this. Chofetz Chaim talks about it ba'arichos. A lot of people talk about it ba'arichos.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm not sure what it would mean, but maybe you make a separate maaser account.
Right.
A stock account.
A maaser account, just nothing was in it.
But anyway, this is the Chofetz Chaim is Meirich about this. Reb Chaim Kanievsky is Meirich about this. And this is what I want to talk about next week. How exactly do you go about being Mekayim in the mitzvah of Meiser? Okay, we talked about, okay, now I have all my cheshbonos down pat. I know which money I have to get Meiser on. Everything's in the account. Now what? How do I actually formally fulfill the mitzvah of giving Meiser? I just write checks to whoever comes to the door, or do I have a separate account? Or how do I keep cheshbon? It's very important.
It sounds like a good thing to be mafresh, but let's say